Hi everybody, I'm Lights Camera Jackson. It's the LCJ Q&A. Joining me, the creator and star of the Netflix animated series F is for Family. It just debuted its second season. Comedian Bill Burr. Bill, thanks for joining me today.
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. You know, this show has a look and a feel to it very similar to an iconic animated show, King of the Hill. Was your goal with this to create sort of a King of the Hill for a new generation?
No. The goal was to do something original. I never really watched King of the Hill, so I can't say it's based on that. I am a big Mike Judge fan. Idiocracy, Beavis and Butthead, does he do Silicon Valley?
Yes, he does.
I am a big fan of this stuff, but for some reason, I think I was doing so much stand-up that I didn't get to watch King of the Hill as much as I probably should have. So, the goal was, when we were coming up with the animation, was we have to have our own look. The Simpsons looks this way, South Park looks that way, Family Guy looks this way. So the fact that you say that it looks like King of the Hill, I guess we failed.
No, I don't think you failed. It just, maybe those fans, you know, are latching on to this, and other people.
I just started crying. I didn't say you failed, man. It reminds me of something. No, that was not the goal. The goal is not to look like another show. But evidently, it does.
Well, you know, it's a big success for Netflix. I think they're very happy with it. And this show, a lot of the material based on your childhood, based on your stand-up. Did you find that there were challenges, unexpected challenges, in translating the stories from the stage to scripted, animated form?
No, because, you know, I'm in a writer's room with a bunch of writers like Mike Price, who's a legend, who's done like over 300 episodes of The Simpsons, so they know what they're doing. So it would have been a challenge if it was just me by myself, but, you know, we got guys, you know, we got Emily Towers, we got Dave Richardson, I got Murderer's Row in our writer's room, and so that was not a problem, you know. However, I did like the fact that you said that the show's a big hit and that Netflix really likes it. Now, Netflix doesn't have any ratings that they let people like me know about, so that must mean you have some sort of inside information. So what has Netflix told you about the show? Because we're all dying to know what they think.
Hey, look, season two. If a show gets a season two pickup, that means at least somebody likes it and somebody's got to be watching. So that's the strong...
It was a something. It wasn't like based on any concrete facts. So in a court of law, that would not be admissible.
I wish they would throw out more ratings. I'm totally into ratings for shows, so I wish Netflix would throw out some more ratings. I'm with you there. Of course, on the show, you voice Frank Murphy. Laura Dern voices your wife, Sue. All great marriages rely on a strong relationship. So how does Sue bring out the best in Frank this season?
Well, how she does it is it's voiced by Laura Dern, who's an absolute, like, legend. When it's the best is when we're both in there at the same time, because there's a lot of arguing and, you know, it's like in a real relationship, there's a lot of talking over each other. Mm. So fortunately, despite being an icon, she's totally down to earth and actually she's like, I want to be in the booth at the same time. So it's like, I really see when I work with her why she's been so successful for so long, because she just, she's all in. If she says I'm doing this, she does it. And everybody, Justin Long, Sam Rockwell, Dave Koechner, everybody on the show, Mo Collins, Debbie Derryberry, and I got to name everybody, I'm going to get in trouble. Haley Reinhart. I remember watching Seinfeld, Jerry, when he was talking about being on Seinfeld. And he said, I basically surrounded myself with the most talented people I could, and people that I would want to hang out with. So I remember that when we were kind of putting the thing together, and it's paying dividends because it's a lot of work to do it, but people I work with are awesome. Mm-hmm. And I really, I there's obviously tough days, you know, if the script isn't working, but, you know, overall it's been a attack.
And with this series, you're not only going for big laughs, but you also tackle some more mature, serious themes involving relationships and family dynamics. Why did you feel it was necessary to go in these directions in the midst of a raunchy animated comedy?
I didn't think it was necessary. It's just what I think is funny. And I think absurd to a certain point, but when stuff gets too absurd, then the people literally become cartoons, and I can't get invested in it the way I would if it was tethered to some sort of reality. So the through line of the show is that it's based in a reality that people can relate to. And then after that, the jokes and having fun with the animation is where the cartoon aspect of it comes in. But my favorite types of comedy, my favorite comedians, my favorite movies and all that, I always felt that writing what would really happen was more difficult than just, you know, making up some shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more of a place we're coming from. We're all raunchy here, so we need to tackle something serious. I mean, we're not, like, dealing with, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just remembering the way stuff was when I was growing up. That's all.
And you grew up in the 70s. The show is set in the 70s. Who were some of the TV families that you connected with?
Well, I remember my parents watching All in the Family, but I was too young to understand. Like, I'm a child of the 70s. Like, my teen years were in the 80s, so I was, like, hair metal in the big 80s. But, like, my growing up years when I was getting bullied and picked on was the 70s. And so when I was in the 70s, I mean, I was watching, like, the Banana Splits, the Flintstones, Bugs Bunny, and all of that type of stuff. So the families that... I remember watching the Brady Bunch and thought it was weird that Greg never beat the shit out of his little brother. I did think that was weird. And the dad never yelled at anybody, being like, "Now, Greg, you need to blah blah blah." And I used to get angry watching shows like that when the older brother. There was the last episode they ever did when Bobby turned Greg's hair orange.
Yes.
He chased him down into the dad's office, and he was going to beat the shit out of him. And I remember being like, it's finally going to happen. Something I could relate to. And then Carol came in and broke it up. And I was so fucking pissed. It's why I hate reality television. My wife watches all those stupid real housewife shows. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly saying things to each other. Where one person should beat the shit out of the other person, but it never happens because the cameraman always breaks it up. It's the exact same level of frustration that I first experienced when Mrs. Brady didn't let Greg beat up Bobby. I watched The Monkees. I liked The Monkees, specifically Mickey Dolenz. I thought he was hilarious. And I loved that because it was comedy and music, and that's my thing. All I need to do is throw in sports. And that's basically my world. So that's what I was watching back then.
Cool.
When I got older, I don't know, I watched What's Happening, I watched Fish, Barney Miller was a little too sophisticated for me. I watched, what was the Gary Coleman one, Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Somewhere around Family Ties, it got kind of all glossed over, kind of lost the grittiness of those shows. They just kind of went in like a different direction. And then, and somewhere, I'm not saying, because Family Ties is a great show, I still loved it and everything. I even watched the spinoff when Nick, remember that guy, was Dave Mallory, when he got his own series. I watched all of those too, but Hello Larry, I remember being a big fan of that show. That didn't work out for Clayton.
And you know,
I watched a lot of Alice.
Okay.
There was a new girl in town, and she moved to fucking Phoenix with her big tooth kid. Sorry.
You know, Bill, I gotta say, speaking of family, you've had quite a year already on top of F is for Family. You welcomed a daughter in January. Congratulations. how long will it be until she can watch F is for Family?
Oh man, I wouldn't want to ruin that innocence with my filth. She'll eventually see it, but I'm gonna, I'm gonna try to keep her sheltered. Like, one thing that I think is really sad is that kids are not allowed to have a childhood anymore. And just because of, I guess, shows like mine being so easily accessible, and they can just walk onto a computer and somehow find it. But, like, I'm not going to be, like, this Quaker or anything like that. But I would like to try. I'd like for the first 9-10 years of her life, you know, for her to just kind of, you know, have a childhood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just fucking wherever you take kids. I'm new to this, you know?
Enjoy it. Yeah. And Bill, I got to ask you, you know, would Frank, if Frank and Sue and the rest of the family were plopped into 21st century society, how would they react?
Well, I mean, they'd be amazed by the technology, I would think. And they would also think that people had lost their minds. I think the oversharing that people do on social media and then the stuff that people would get offended by, you know, versus what really was going on, like ignoring the heroin epidemic but getting upset when, I don't know, somebody does a photo shoot with a political agenda, you know, they get all upset about that, you know.
Mm.
Someone has to issue a friggin' apology, but, like, pharmaceutical companies don't have to be like, hey, sorry, I think we might have created a heroin epidemic by giving out opiates over the last 20 years.
I'm sure they would be amazed by everything. I really think so. So Bill, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to end this podcast with a big topic right now in entertainment. Do you have a joke surrounding Mr. Met? Do you have a joke right now?
You have a joke surrounding Mr. Met? No. Why? What did he do?
Oh, you didn't hear about Mr. Met? He pulled out the middle finger on a fan at a Mets game yesterday.
Good for him. I think it's great he did that. And you know goddamn well that fan deserved it. When you dress in a mascot uniform, that's one of the happiest moments of your life. You know, you get to be Mr. Met. It's got that giant head, so there's plenty of air like moving around there. You're nice and cool. You're supposed to be in the San Diego Chicken where it was hot as hell in that thing, right? To get that person in that costume, that man, to give you the thing, you definitely deserve it. And you know what? All they're going to do is trash Mr. Met, and they're not going to talk about that fan. Fuck the fan. I'm so sick of the fact that fans can throw, like, glasses of water on NBA players, and then they get freaked out that they go into the stand. They're human beings. There's a person in that goddamn Met uniform, that mascot uniform. You know what would be great is if he kept that big head on and he beat the shit out of the guy. That would be like really beat him down to the point there was blood spatter on that giant white head. I would be a Mets fan for life. How's that? There's your bit.
There you go. Wow, there you go. Bill Burr ranting on Mr. Met. There you go. Well, F is for Family.
Ranting, I was merely sharing my ideas on a subject for a few minutes. Ranting goes with ranting and raving. I was not foaming at the mouth. How dare you? How dare you try to say that my emotions weren't clear in that moment. I believe everything I just said. I stand by it. I will not apologize the next day.
He said it all. There you go. Bill Burr, F is for Family, Season 2. It's on Netflix now. Check it out, Bill. Thank you so much for joining me today.
All right, brother. I'll see you.
Peace out. All right. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson with the LCJ Q&A.